Proverbs 31, we're going to look at that passage today. I figured it'd be fitting for Mother's Day, and Daniel did too. And we want to honor the ladies today. We want to honor them. And not just moms. There's some of you out there that have not had children, but you're spiritual moms, right? We speak of spiritual fathers that are patriarchs, spiritual fathers that we look to for example and teaching and instruction. Well, there's also spiritual moms, right? Those that are pouring into kids and just in many ways. So we are very blessed by you. As I've said, we're very, very blessed by your ministry. And so we're so thankful. So we want to honor you. And, you know, for some of you, I'll just start out by saying, you know, some of you have remained single in your life, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. So don't look down or feel discouraged when we read this passage about the excellent wife. It says in 1 Corinthians 7 that to remain single is actually a blessing, because you are going to be able to focus on the Lord without distraction much better, and you're going to, in a special way, be able to minister to the Lord that you would not be able to as being married or as a parent. So Paul emphasizes that, hey, this is a blessing. And so we don't want you to be discouraged at all. So Proverbs 31 explains to us that the woman who fears the Lord, this is an excellent wife, a woman that fears the Lord. And as Daniel read it already, so I'm going to go off of what he read so well, and we're just going to jump right in. But, and also too, this message that I'm sharing today, it actually comes from a message that I heard from one of my pastors when we were in Louisville, Kentucky. His name was Tom Schreiner, and he actually did a sermon series through Proverbs, which is a really good series. So if you're interested on finding good pastors to listen to online, you can actually go to Clifton. That was the name of the church we went to. It was Clifton Baptist Church. And go to Clifton, C-L-I-F-T-O-N, baptistchurch.org. And there's a lot of really good sermons on that website, because there was actually a lot of professors from the seminary that went to that church. And so if you go there, go to the sermons, and you'll find his sermon series on Proverbs. But this comes from that. And anyway, there is... We see here the woman who fears the Lord. And we also see this son receiving instruction on how to find a godly woman. The king, is receiving instruction about how to find a godly woman. And so that's what this verse is coming from. And you guys, honestly, besides salvation, the decision on who you marry is the most important decision. There is no greater decision than who you are going to decide to marry. So you have to be very careful, and you need to study this passage, okay? Especially for the men as you're looking. And so it tells us what we should consider, what men should consider when looking for a wife. And in this passage, there's five truths that we can take from this passage, okay? Five. And the first is that the excellent wife, she is priceless, okay? This woman, she is priceless. Number two, she is industrious. She's industrious. Number three, she brings praise to her husband. She brings praise to her husband. And number four, she teaches wisdom. And number five, she is honored. So we're just going to just go through those points and take a look and see what the scripture is teaching us. So number one, she is priceless. The godly woman, the woman who fears God, is priceless. And we see in verse 29... where it says that, if you look down chapter 31, verse 29, it says, Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. So I start there just to let the ladies know that this is not a competition, okay? There's not going to be the excellent wife, there's only one, and then, oh man, all you, the rest of you lost. It's not that way. We see here, there's actually many noble women. There's many noble women. And we have many noble women in our church.
Amen.
That match what we're reading here. And so we rejoice in that. That's a blessing. You, all of you ladies, are a blessing. And this is not a competition in any way. Instead, there are many of you. So just wanted to start out by saying that. And we can go back to verse 11 here, and it says that the heart of her husband trusts in her. And it's interesting because in the scriptures it teaches us that we are to trust in God, right? We're to trust in Christ. But right here, we're actually told to trust in a person. And there's actually only one other place in the scriptures where we're instructed to trust a person. Everywhere else it tells us to trust in God. But here, we're told to trust, husbands are told to trust in their wives, to have great trust in them. And that's awesome. That's interesting. And then in verse 12, it says, husbands can rely on their wives. And that's a blessing to have that close mate that you can rely on and trust in completely. That is a huge blessing, a great gift from God. And that was God's intent, right? That was God's intent from the beginning. Like Daniel was reading in Genesis chapter 2, that was his intent all along, that a husband and wife would come together and they would become one and trust in each other completely and lean on each other. And it's a great blessing. But here's the thing. What if you don't feel that way? What if you don't feel that way about your spouse? And to be honest, there's probably some of you in here that are struggling with trusting your spouse in that way. But I just want to encourage you guys when you read this again, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged by this passage. Don't give up, okay? Your marriage can get there. Your marriage can get to the point where you trust each other completely. It can get there. Don't despair and don't give up. And don't be discouraged by this at all. It can get there. And it can especially get there as both husband and wife commit to the Lord and pour themselves out to the Lord and draw closer to the Lord, then marriage will become sweeter and sweeter. So don't give up. Don't be discouraged. It can get better. Pray, and the Lord hears our prayers. He cares for us. And we need to remember, too, that marriage involves a lot of forgiving, okay? There is a lot of forgiving that has to go on in marriage, constantly forgiving each other. And it's even said, you may have heard this at a wedding, but marriage is the union of two good forgivers. Right? That's what marriage is. And so we've got to remember that. Just unconditional love and forgiveness to each other. And another encouragement to you too. Another encouragement. No marriage is perfect. Okay? You will not be a perfect husband and wife. It's not going to happen. But again, it's going to get better and better as we get closer to the Lord. And as we give ourselves to God. And remember this too, in Isaiah 61, turn there. Isaiah 61 verses 1 through 3. Maybe your marriage is just a wreck right now, let's be honest. But pray, don't lose hope, trust in the Lord. And know this, keep this in mind. Isaiah 61 verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, so they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So if you feel like your marriage is just ashes right now, just know he can give you a garland. He can turn the ashes to something beautiful. Just hang in there. Don't give up and pray. And by God's grace, things will change. And you'll be able to know what we're going to look at some more right now. All right, so number two to the excellent wife is she is industrious. She is industrious. And we see this throughout the whole passage. It's spread throughout that this woman is a hard worker. She works with her hands. She's always busy. She doesn't go to sleep. She's just constantly working. And we see that like in verse 13, it says, she looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. And we see in verse 19, she stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands grasp the spindle. And I like the way, verse 19, I like the way that the New Living Translation translated that. It says, her hands are busy spinning thread and her fingers twisting fiber. Okay, so that gives a little bit more detail to that to help us understand. But this whole task of sewing is, back then, was an enormous task. It took an enormous amount of time and self-discipline to sit there and spin your own thread and then sew clothes out of it. I mean, that was a huge task. And honestly, it's not the same today, right? It's not. Ladies are not having to do that today. But there's other things here that show her industriousness that ladies can follow example of. As far as verse 15, it says that she rises early to prepare food and plan for the day. Verse 18, her lamp does not go out. And I just want to say right now, Daniel kind of made a crack at it. He's like, oh, I don't see, you know, Marguerite waking up in the night. But you're in trouble, Daniel. I see. So here's what that means. This might help you right now, Daniel. So this is extreme language, okay? This is hyperbolic language. It's extreme language to try to get attention to make a point. Honestly, if we look at all the other scriptures in the Bible, we see pretty commonly that it's important for us to rest. We need rest. And after serving the Lord and doing hard work and having a good tiredness, rest is a good thing. We need that. And so this scripture is not saying at all, if you don't sleep, or if you sleep at night, you're not this woman, you know. But it's an extreme language. It's okay, ladies, go to sleep and rest. You work really hard, you do. And you bless us, you deserve rest. So it's just making a point. Good tiredness from honest, good, hard labor, taking care of family, work, whatever you do, rest is a good thing. And Scripture tells us to do that. And then it says in verse 16 of Proverbs 31, it says, she considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. And so we see that this woman has a business mindset. She's very business-minded. Okay, and that's a blessing. That's not true of all women. That's not true of all men. But this particular woman, she has a business mindset. And just, I want to speak about something for a minute. Have you guys heard of the term complementarian? Complementarian. Anybody? Some of you. Okay, complementarian is just, it's a Christian view that deals with men and women and their roles. There's egalitarians, right? That believe that there's no distinction between man and woman as far as roles. They're equal. But complementarian, which I believe is scriptural, is shows that men and women have different roles. They're equal in worth, but there's just a difference between the two. And so there's male and female, right? I mean, that's going to get, it's crazy, but that's getting more and more confused in our time. And it's not about who does what. It's not about who does what job, but just that men and women are different. Okay, we're different, and we have different roles. And here's two definitions that I just want to share with you, talking about masculinity and femininity. All right, so for masculinity, is this: at the heart of mature masculinity is a sense of benevolent responsibility to lead, provide for, and protect women in ways appropriate to a man's differing relationships. So that's in us. To lead, provide, and protect. As a man, that's a role that we have. That's unique to us. Now for the ladies, femininity. At the heart of mature femininity, it is a freeing disposition to affirm, receive, and nurture strength and leadership from worthy men in ways appropriate to a woman's differing relationships. And that's totally countercultural today. It's absolutely countercultural to what we see in our culture today, but that's different roles that we have as women. For women to nurture and encourage worthy men to be strong, to encourage them to lead and to go forward. And that's how God's role, that's what He designed. And there's reasons for that. We know in Ephesians chapter 5, it's the reasons given to us that is an example of Christ and the church, of how Christ is the head of the church and the church is His body. And that whole relationship between a man and a woman should represent and reflect that. But here's the thing. All of us men, let's be honest, we can be rigid about that headship, can't we? Men can become rigid, too rigid, unbiblically rigid about this complementarianism. Men can give little freedom to their wives. Little freedom. That's not scriptural. Some wives have a good business sense. They have a good business mindset. And a wise husband will free her up to go and to use her gift. A wise husband will do that. He'll be like, go for it. Go for it. That's your gift. Go, do it. A wise husband will know his wife's gifts and not try to hold her back from them. And of course, again, well, I'm going to say this a couple times, you'll see, but we can take this too far. We can take this too far. Wives, I'm not telling you, like it says in here, to go out and make this huge financial purchase without talking to your husband. Okay? Guys, I just had to put that in there. This does not mean you just go out and buy that new car that you want because you think it's a good investment or whatever reason. A wise wife will consult her husband before making a huge financial purchase. So don't take that too far. But then, guys, we can take this too far too and consider wives to be our servants. And they're not our servants at all. Wives are our partners. Wives are our partners, and we need to treat and to pour into them and treat them as partners. So wives, consult your husbands before you go out and spend a big amount of money, a big financial decision. And guys, this woman right here is a hard worker. We see that. She is a hard worker. And this does not mean that you get to sit around while your wife works hard. Men need to be hard workers too. Men need to be hard workers as well. And so don't be wasting your time, men, on trivial things. All right? Don't waste your time on trivial things, but work hard. And work hard to serve your wife and to serve women. All right, so with these things said, this is for the singles, all right? Maybe there's some young singles in here. I know there's some pretty young singles. This might not be something you want to think about right now, but based on this passage and what this young man is instructed, we need to take instruction too. And for young men that are looking for a wife, listen, okay? Listen to this. When you're looking for a wife, I see Dustin looking at me. I got his attention. When you're looking for a wife, you need to be sure to seek a resourceful, industrious, hardworking woman. All right? Those are the things that you should be seeking in a wife. All right? Resourceful, industrious, hardworking women. You probably have someone in mind right now. You're like examining. And yeah, they're going to be talking to you after. But I'm sorry, Dustin. I embarrassed him in Sunday school this morning too. He's going to be like, I'm not coming back anymore. Dustin, we're glad that you're here. But you want guys, young men that are single, you want to find a woman that has a work ethic, that she's energetic, and she's strong. That's the kind of woman that you want to look for. Alright? If the woman that you're considering, if she's undisciplined, and she's messy, and she's helpless, she's probably not the one for you. Alright? Now that's not in all cases. That's not in all cases. But definitely something to consider. And you know, honestly, our culture is totally trying to get us thinking differently about that, aren't they? Our culture is trying to get us to find the next Miss America, or you know, it's horrible how our culture is teaching us about this. So beware. Go to the Scripture. The Scripture will make you wise. And parents too, pray for your kids, right? Pray for your kids that they find. Start praying right now and then keep praying every day. I need to pray more. I pray not as much as I should, that I pray for my daughter's husbands. Which might be one of those little boys out there, so you guys better be training them right. Alright? We'll see. That's, and train them good. Alright, then look at verse 20. It says that she extends her hand to the poor and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She's just working in so many ways, but she's working and providing for those who are poor. And she has, we'll call it gospel kindness, okay? She has a kindness. And she's not doing that to try to earn God's favor, but she's just, it's not works of righteousness. But the way that it should be now, she knows she's a sinner saved by grace. She knows she's a sinner saved by grace. And she has received mercy, so she gives mercy. All right? And so we need to be looking for these things. Her kindness, her gospel kindness, is a response to God's grace. All right, so let's go to number three. Number three is excellent. An excellent wife brings praise to her husband. An excellent wife brings praise to her husband. Go ahead and look at verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Her husband is known in the gates when she sits among the elders of the land. So gate, what is it? He's sitting at the gate. Well, the gate of a city, right? Usually cities have walls around them. The gate of the city was a place where business is conducted. All right, there's businesses conducted there. Court cases are conducted there. Important matters of community business. The gate was a central place for these things. And why was he respected in the gates? And the answer is this whole passage that we're looking at. He is respected because of his wife's godliness and work ethic. That's why he's respected. Now, listen to this, ladies. This might be for you. It might be for you to train a younger woman. But a wife who goes around and talks down about her husband, criticizes him, focuses on his faults, does not bring him honor. Does not bring him honor. And let's be perfectly honest. This is true. This is true of our outward actions. Ladies, it's true of your outward actions. Men, we have ways that we dishonor our wives. But for ladies, it's true of our outward actions that when we talk down on our husband, or criticize him or focus on the negative things about him, that we're not building him up. We're not honoring him. But even more so, ladies, what's going on inside your heart? What's going on inside of your mind? Do you have a desire to honor your husband and to build him up? Maybe in your heart and mind, you're tearing him down all the time. It might not come out of your mouth, but in your heart and mind, you're tearing him down. But you've got some self-control, and so you keep it and hold it back. Your heart is where you got to do the work. Forget about your mouth. If that's what your heart's saying, then there's some work that needs to be done. All right? The Lord will help you, though. Amen. Don't be discouraged. The Lord will help you to change your heart so that even if your husband is not a godly man, he will make your heart learn how to still honor him and respect him. It says in Proverbs 14:1, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. Okay, that's Proverbs 14:1. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her hands. A key way to tear down your house is to criticize your husband publicly. That is a key way to tear your own house down. And so don't take this too far. I got to say this. Don't take this too far. All right? I'm not talking about significant sin. If you have a husband that is significantly sinning, then you need to go and talk to someone about it and pray for wisdom to understand what I'm telling you. But if there is significant sin that is harming you, then that's something that you do need to go talk to someone about. It needs to be revealed, and it must be exposed and dealt with. All right, so don't take it too far. There is a time, if necessary, to speak ill of your husband if it's a gross sin that he needs help with. And so we see also in Proverbs 21:9, it says, it is better to live in a corner of a roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. All right? So ladies, I'm sorry, I'm kind of coming down. And I'm not, the scripture is. All right? To live with a contentious woman, it's better to live like in the attic, in the corner with the mice, than to be down in the house. All right? And husbands, it's true for you as well. It'd be better for the woman to live up in the corner of the attic than with a husband who contentious, what is that? Exhibiting an often perverse and wearisome tendency to quarrels and disputes. To quarrel and dispute often. That's true for both. That's true for both. If that's you, it's hard to say this, but you are the scourge of the home. You're the scourge of the home. You are causing great affliction and pain. If that's you, and you need to repent. And it goes both ways. So again, you guys, I'm not just speaking to moms and wives, but to spiritual moms and to the women and to the ladies of this church. All right, this passage has something to teach all of us. And ladies, you need to pray. How can I honor, respect, and lift up my husband in community and in the home? That's just a prayer that you need to pray. You could pray it this way. How can I honor, respect, and lift up the male leaders in the community and in the home? But it's important. All right, so here's another thing. It's not only communication with each other, you guys, but it's very important to communicate to your children that you respect and honor your husband. It's very important for your children to see that. Amen. They need that. That makes them feel safe. You want to know how to love your children? love your spouse and honor them. Your children will feel loved as a result. That's the best way to make them feel loved. All right, so men, your turn. It says in Ephesians 5:28, it says, "So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself." All right? So, here's the question, men. Is your wife flourishing? Is your mom flourishing? Young men. And I mean the woman in your life, is she flourishing? The ones that God has given you responsibility over. And husbands especially, you need to pray and ask God how to love your wife. And here's the thing, you want your wife to serve you? You want your wife to take care of you? The saying goes, if you want to be watered, then you need to water. All right, if you want those things, guess what? You need to be doing it. You need to be loving her and taking care of her. All right, not waiting for her to do it to you. If you want to be watered, then you need to water. So here's what you got to do, men, to your wives, to the mothers of your children. You need to get to know your wife. All right, this goes for me too. Get to know your wife, study her, love her. Don't imagine what you think she needs. Don't imagine what you think she needs. You are responsible, hear this, you are responsible for her beauty and for her continence. You're responsible for that. You are responsible that she is flourishing, that she's joyful. And if she's not, that's coming down on you. You're responsible. You need to take care of her. Alright? And I'll just tell you right now, you know the saying, point a finger, three are pointing back at you? Well, if you try to pass the buck and point the finger at her or something else for her sadness, there's 100 pointing back at you. This is the biggest responsibility that you have aside from worshiping the Lord and obeying Him and serving Him. So take care of her and make sure she's flourishing and her heart is joyful. And here's how she'll flourish, you guys. She will flourish if she knows you treasure her. She will flourish if she knows that you treasure her. All right? So let's go on. Got a couple more. This woman, this Proverbs 31 woman, she's a teacher. She is a teacher. And it says in verse 26 that she opens her mouth in wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. And so she teaches with kindness. But you know how she does this? There's only one way to really do this. There's only one way, and that's for her to spend time with the Lord. To spend time in God's presence, meditating on His Word. That's how she does this. That's how she becomes someone with her lips are filled with the gospel. She is a teacher. And we learn a lesson from the story of Martha and Mary in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. We see that one's busy and running around and gets frustrated at the other that's sitting and listening and is near in Jesus' presence. And Jesus rebukes the one that was busy and says, "Your sister chose the right thing. She's here in my presence with me." And that's true for the ladies as well as the men. We need to be spending time in His presence. It's so very important. It also says, well, you know, let's go ahead and go on to the last one. Point number 5, she is honored. She is honored. And it says in verse 28, her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all." And so we see from verse 28, the children bless this woman. godly woman, their mother. The husband praises her. And so, moms, all right, moms, speaking to you, you're going to have very hard times, more than I know, more than any of us guys know, probably. You're going to have very hard times when you're taking care of your children, where you're just like, what is the point? What is the point? I want to throw in the towel, forget it. They're not getting any better anyway. What is the point? Just go ahead and let them run around like wild animals. But in those hard times, you have to remember that there is purpose, that you are raising these children to glorify God. You are raising them to glorify God, and that one day they will remember. It might be 10 or 15 years from now, but one day they're going to remember, and they're going to look back, and they're going to praise you, moms, and they're going to rejoice, and they're going to bless you, and they are not ever going to forget all that you did for them. They will never, ever forget it. They will remember, and they will bless you one day. So hang in there. Hang in there. And that's true for spiritual moms too. Hang in there with those kids that the Lord has brought into your life to pour into. All right, so Daniel already said it. I'll say it again. Men, we need to get much better at blessing and praising our wife. We need to get a lot better at that. We need to get a lot better at honoring and blessing the women that we see giving this example in a correct way. We need to get much better at honoring them. Amen. And I'm definitely included in that. So we learn a lot from this passage. And there's instruction for men and women both. For the young men, be sure to be looking for a woman that fears the Lord. That she's strong. She's a hard worker. And yes, there should be a spark of attraction there, okay? I'm not trying to tell you that's not supposed to be there. It is, all right? There should be attraction. But it should not all be about beauty and vanity. It should not be about that at all. And this is what a wise woman looks like. And ladies, just to free you up right now, I meant to say this in the beginning, but I didn't. There is no woman that does this perfectly. Okay? I should have said that in the beginning. Sorry. I'll let you know that now. There is no woman that does this perfectly. There's not. So, know that. But this is a righteous standard to look at. The bar is high, but that's okay. Amen. That's good. Jesus gives us a high bar too, doesn't he? He says, follow me. That's a pretty high bar. Amen. It's impossible. But still, we got to try to do it. And so for the ladies, it's the same thing. This is the picture of what a wise woman looks like. And so, go for it. And be humble and ask the Lord to help you. He's the only one that's going to really give you a chance of getting close to this. So ask him but strive for it. And know that no one's perfect at this. No lady is perfect at this. But guys, this is what to look for. So this is instruction. Men, if you have a woman that has a heart that has these things in it, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And pray and thank the Lord. And serve that woman and love that woman and let her know that you treasure her. Let her know how much you treasure her. All right? And she will flourish. She will. And so, you can know this from the whole book of Proverbs. You know, it's funny, we see all the Proverbs 31 woman. Where's the Proverbs 32 man? Honestly, Proverbs chapter 1 through 30 is the Proverbs man. It's trying to teach men wisdom. So there you go, guys. Go for it. Strive to seek this wisdom and to live this out. But we know, both men and women, that honestly, there's only one who's wise. There's only one who is wise that fulfilled these things we see in the scriptures as far as wisdom, and that's Jesus Christ himself. He's the only one that's wise. So when we read these scriptures, we need to rejoice that we have a Savior that fulfilled and was perfectly wise. And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 through 31, "But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." Amen. Reading this, ladies, reading Proverbs 31, should lead you to rejoice and to boast in the Lord. And especially too, as the Lord grows you in these things. It's his work in you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22 through 24 says, "For indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Amen. And so, it would be impossible to do these things without our Savior and the work that he does in us, in our hearts, when we put faith in him, and when we receive salvation by the sacrifice that he made. And so, with that said, ladies, the purpose of my message was to honor you and not to discourage you. And if you're discouraged, just cry out to the Lord, and he will help you in these things to grow in these areas. He will. And we should rejoice as a church, because we have many, many women in our church that exemplify this. And all I have to say to the older ladies is to teach the younger and instruct them and show them, help raise them up so that they too can be a blessing to their husband, and their husband can trust in them completely and rejoice and praise them. I was going to end by embarrassing Julie, but I won't. I love you, Julie. I think she's back there watching on the screen. But for me, in my life, I can say without hesitation what it says in verse 29, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excelled them all." And I know for some of you men out there, you can say the same of your wife. So go home and cherish them and take care of them this afternoon. I'm going to stop talking. And we love you guys. Love you, ladies. And thank you. Thank you so much. You bless us and you honor us. And guys, we need to get a lot better at honoring them. All right. And Nikki, rather than coming up and singing a song, since we're a little bit past, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll be able to go out and spend time with our wives, our moms, and bless them. And Pastor Bob, I can't think of a better way than blessing everyone right now than asking you to come up and to pray for us as we go. So if you could please come and pray for us in closing. And love you. Thank you for being here. Have a good Mother's Day.
Father, we come before you to thank you for your word that guides us in all matters and gives us wisdom pertaining to every dimension of our life. We thank you for the words that have been spoken to us this morning that have caused us to be reminded of the blessing that is ours because of women who know you, love you, serve you, and fear you. We're grateful, first of all, for our mothers, Lord, who loved us and who set before us a worthy example, who had great influence and impact upon our lives. I thank you for my mother and for the many things that she instilled in my heart and my life. And I know there are brothers and sisters here this morning who can say the same thing, that it was their mom. She was so influential in establishing the very basics that needed to be established in our lives. So we thank you and we honor them. And we thank you, Lord, for our wives and those that you have brought into our lives by your design and by your wisdom, our life partner. And as Brother Matt has ably called to our attention today, they are to be honored and recognized and valued greatly. So we do want to use this day to properly acknowledge, Lord, those who have had such a deep, profound influence upon our lives. And we thank you for godly sisters within the church. Women, Lord, that set a worthy example. Women that stand strong, Lord, in standing against the trends of the hour and the trends of the day. Women who love you and serve you and desire to honor you above all things. So our hearts are encouraged by your word and by your message this morning. And as we go today, may we find time to speak to those women in our lives who have had such a wonderful influence, and honor them in a way that brings honor and glory to you. So we thank you for the hour we've spent together in your presence now. And go rejoicing in the name of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.